Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. What is your favourite season? Summer, autumn, winter, or spring? And I thought maybe we could do a little poll. Hands up if summer is your favourite. Not too bad. What about autumn? Oh, good number of autumn. So you people must all be very happy at the moment. What about winter? Any winter lovers here? Two, maybe. And then we have spring. Who's a spring lover? Oh, gee, autumn and spring, the in-between seasons here. I think in the 9:30 this morning it was spring was the winner. Well, personally, I am a summer girl through and through. I love just about everything that goes along with summer. The beach, shorts, no shoes, barbecues, ice cream, even salad, the heat, the long days, Christmas, the sun, and the list could go on and on. But sadly, summer doesn't last forever. Sadly for me, anyway. And we move into autumn, and the beginning of autumn's quite lovely. The trees start to change colour. We celebrate Easter. The mornings are still very pleasant for walking. Often the days are beautiful. Nights are starting to get cooler. And slowly but surely, we edge towards winter, which is how I felt this morning when we were out walking. And winter is my least favourite season. You see, I really can't stand winter. I hate being cold. I don't like short days. I dislike having to wear multiple layers of clothes. I don't like walking in the dark and or the cold. And I detest having to hang all the washing inside the house. Plus, my birthday is winter, which means that every winter I get a year older. But the good news is that the winter ends and we see signs of a new season, new growth on trees and plants. We see more of the sun. The days start to get longer again and warmer. I wear my UGG boots less. Once again, the washing can be hung outside in the backyard on the clothesline because spring is here and summer is on its way. But we all know that we don't appreciate the spring without going through the winter. But I have to say, I think I do my best living in the summer. But what if I was to ask you this morning, what is the best season of life? I'm sure many of you would say it's the times when you're doing great, when everything is going well, relationships are good, your health is good, your finances are going along nicely, and you are certain of where you are headed in life, what your plan and your purpose is. But of course, there's always the opposite end of the spectrum, isn't there? Perhaps when you're at a stalemate and you're not sure where you're headed or what you should be doing. The times when life is hard, when relationships with family or loved ones are broken, when you're experiencing pain or hurt or loss or grief. And I'm guessing if you're like me that you wouldn't choose to go through that type of season. Well, we heard earlier from the scripture that Bev read to us that there is a time for everything. There's a time for every season. We also heard that God has made everything beautiful in his time. But it can be very easy for us to be in a particular season of our life and think that the grass is greener over there. Sometimes we can look at people and think, wouldn't it be great to be in their situation. Sometimes we can be in a season and just think that we're biding time, waiting for God to speak to us, to tell us exactly what we should be doing and where we should be going. Can be easy sometimes to be in a certain season, and worse than thinking that we're biding time, that we're actually wasting time. Surely this isn't what God wants for our life. Surely this is not what He has planned for us. Ever since I was a child, I have loved the story of Moses that's recorded in the book of Exodus in Scripture. When I was a child, I was fascinated by the fact that Moses' mother, a Hebrew woman, put him in a basket and then placed him in the river, where he was eventually found by an Egyptian princess and raised in a palace. This is, of course, is the Kylie Collinson paraphrase version of the scripture. And then God gave Moses a job to do, didn't he? He was to lead the people, his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, which in my mind as a child made me think that Moses was this amazing man who had everything together. I was fascinated by the fact that he was responsible for the plagues, of course, with God's help, and that these were really cool to be able to bring on, in my childlike brain, of course, frogs and gnats and locusts, and how good would it be to have such power? And then, of course, not to mention the parting of the Red Sea, because all I ever saw were these people in my mind rejoicing as they went through the sea, not thinking about the people who perished as the sea closed up. Talk about amazing and ridiculous and crazy all at the same time. But as I got older and I learnt more and more about Moses and his life and studied the book of Exodus in its entirety and in greater depth, I stopped focusing only on the highlights package of Moses' life, but looked at it as a whole. And boy, did he go through some seasons. Many of you would know the account of Moses recorded in Exodus chapter 2 when he had grown up and he went out and saw one of his own people, a Hebrew man, being beaten by an Egyptian, and Moses actually killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. But he was found out by Pharaoh, who then tried to kill Moses, so Moses fled and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. This was definitely a new season in his life. And I imagine that it wouldn't have been too easy for him. He'd left behind all he knew, his life of privilege in the palace, his family, his friends, and he found himself in the desert, quite literally. And in Acts chapter 7, it's recorded that Moses spent 40 years here. 40 years. 40 years had passed. An angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of a burning bush that didn't actually burn up. When Moses saw this, he was amazed, and it was here that he heard the voice of God speaking to him, calling him to lead the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt to the Promised Land. So after some questioning of God, Moses obeys and returns to lead the people, his people, out of slavery and into the future that God has promised for them. I must admit that I sometimes think that God could have saved everyone a whole heap of time and trouble if he had just spoken to Moses when he was living in the palace. God obviously knew then that Moses was concerned for the welfare of his fellow Israelites, and God could have called Moses all these years before to lead the people to the Promised Land. And surely we would have had the same result. But clearly Moses wasn't ready 40 years earlier for such responsibilities. You see, all the seasons of his life, the pain, the trouble, as well as the good times, the positive times, all came together to make him the man and the leader that he was. And it's often during the hardest and most challenging times that we mature. You see, just as God did with Moses, he still speaks to us through all the seasons of life. But many times it's in the winter, in those long, dark times, that we grow and we develop the most. Over the last 2 or 3 years, I have established a new passion in life, and I have become what many of my family and friends now call me, a crazy indoor plant lady. That's a very official term. Or in Adelaide, I was called a crazy indoor plant lady. I'm grateful that I have a very understanding husband who helped me transport all these plants. This is just a selection of them in our old house in Adelaide, and I was allowed to bring them over the border. I did do the correct investigation. I transported these plants from South Australia to New South Wales, where they magically became plants, actually. And they settled into our new home in Winston Hills in January. But I remember the first season that I had some of these plants, that many, by the way, have names. And you can test Dave later by asking him to name the plants in the photo, if you like. We have Frank that lives at our house, and Baxter and Curdy, and this is why I'm crazy, you see. But I was concerned when we came to the first winter with these plants, because up until then they had been flourishing. They were glorious shades of green. Some had flowered, some had all these new shoots on them, and they were loving life. And I'm sure they were loving me, the crazy plant lady who took care of them. Some people tried to tell me that I'd obviously just put them in the right place in my house and they had the right amount of light and all that kind of thing. But I preferred to think that it was because I was talking to them that they were flourishing. But in the winter, they seemed to do nothing. They just sat there collecting dust. So I had to go out and buy this can of leaf shine. Do you know there's such a thing made by Yates? And I would polish the leaves, which made me even crazier, apparently. That was until the spring came. And once again, new shoots started to form. Even new plants started to grow out. And I got even crazier and I started to propagate. And so the number of plants increased in our house, which my family were really thrilled about. You see, the winter was for what was going on in and underneath the soil. And we all know that, don't we? The winter was for the roots to continue to grow, for the plant to establish itself even more so, so that when the new season came, the plant had enough resources to continue to reach its full potential. The winter was not and is not wasted on the plants. And in the same way, the harder and more challenging times of life are not wasted on us as people. The grass may look greener on the other side, but no matter what we are going through, God still uses it and God still speaks to us even in the darkest days. Sometimes we need to be patient, which of course is easier said than done. In the book of James, scripture in chapter 1, we read that the author of this book was a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus. And it's as if he's writing to a group of people just like us, who are trying to and wanting to hear the voice of God and to discern what he's saying to us. James says to consider it pure joy when we are faced with trials. He also says that perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete. James goes as far as saying, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Towards the end of 2018, I found myself in a very challenging and painful season, and without being too dramatic, it was the most difficult time of my life so far. But when I think back to those long and dark days, and some of them were very dark, I have to tell you, there were many lessons that I learnt. And these lessons continue to make me the person that I am now. I learnt things like, when you're going through hell, don't stop. I learnt that God never leaves me nor forsakes me. I have people who love me and who care for me. I'm stronger and more resilient when I continue to rely on God. Even in the tough seasons, I must take care of myself, get enough sleep, eat well, exercise. I also learned that what didn't kill me was going to make me stronger. I learned that it's okay not to be okay. That I needed to continue to pray even if my prayers were not eloquent, even if at times my prayers were angry, because God was big enough to take it. I also learned that I needed to make space in my life for quiet and for time to be still. And finally, I learnt not to give up. Don't give up when you're going through the tough seasons. Persevere. Press into God. Don't compare yourself to others. And continue listening for the voice of God. Because it's during these times that your roots of faith and trust will continue to grow deep, so that when the season ends, you will grow and you will flourish and blossom and bloom into all that God intends you to be. Well, today is the last week in our series of Hearing God. And we've talked about hearing God through different circumstances and different situations in life. Sarah spoke last week about hearing God through nature and through Sabbath and rest. We talked about hearing God through other people. And today we look at hearing God through the tough seasons. The seasons do come and go in our life. And the author of the book who we've been basing this series on says this: God speaks to us through the big and little circumstances of our lives. Whether we can hear him depends on how willing we are to embrace where we are right now. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything, everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God speaks to us through the big and little circumstances of our lives. Whether we can hear him depends on how willing we are to embrace where we are right now.